Well, thank you for joining us for Northwest Worship. As you know, last fall, I had colon cancer surgery. And when I was in the hospital and recovering the first day, I was hooked up to so many things. My arms and my legs had things on them. I couldn't roll over. I couldn't shift my weight. So I could not sleep. And so I'd wake up at 3 in the morning, 4 in the morning. I'd start channel surfing. And I discovered the Cowboy Channel. I didn't know they had a Cowboy Channel. And I started watching The Lone Ranger, which was one of my favorite TV shows. It reminded me that a lot of Christians act like The Lone Ranger. They think they can go through their Christian life like The Lone Ranger, you know, riding the range and doing things on their own. Well, that's not how God made us. God made us so that we would need people in our lives, so that we could thrive and we could grow. Let's look at Genesis 2:18. The Lord God said, "It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him." I do not believe that this passage means that everyone should get married. What it really means, the truth is that we were not meant to go through life alone. It is not good for us to be alone. Relationships are the primary means by which God established his commandments, for learning them and understanding how to follow them and to preserve them. And Jesus even emphasized it more by saying that we must love one another. The relationships we need are based on love. Yet today, if you look at our society, close relationships are often lacking. And when we're lonely, loneliness leads to bitterness, anger, depression, and suicide. So it is not good for you and me to be alone. We can never become the kind of person God wants us to be on our own. We need people in our lives, people who are teaching us, people who are sharing their lives with us, investing in us, and encouraging us. In fact, to be all that God calls you to be, you must learn from 4 types of people. And that's what I want to talk about today, the 4 types of people we can learn from, people we need in our lives. So the first one is a mentor. Many years ago, my grandma Kwan was visiting with us at Northwest, and she was worshiping with us, even though she didn't speak any English. And we were standing in the narthex, my grandma, my parents, and me, and my daughters. And the guest speaker came up, and I introduced him. And he thought, "Oh, that's really amazing. There are 4 generations of your family worshiping together." See, that is not the norm anymore. For the first time in history, in the Christian church, generations are not worshiping together. So when we're not worshiping together, we are not learning from our elders, and that is potentially harmful to the church. So how do we make up for this problem? We do so through a mentoring ministry. A generation ago, mentoring was called discipleship. I kind of like the word coaching. So whether it's mentoring, discipleship, or coaching, it's simply a way of raising up Christian disciples within the body of Christ. You might have different mentors in your life. No one can teach you everything. One person can teach you one thing and another person another. And so we see an example of mentoring in Acts 16. Paul, talking about the Apostle Paul, came to Derbe and then to Lystra, where a disciple named Timothy lived, whose mother was a Jewish and a believer, but whose father was Greek. The brothers at Lystra and Iconium spoke well of him. Paul wanted to take him along, so he circumcised him because of the Jews that lived in the area, for they all knew that his father was a Greek. You know, I think Timothy was a church kid. You know, many of us at Northwest who are in leadership now are church kids. You know, the kid that grew up running around the church, running between the pews, making noise, being obnoxious, being loud, laughing and having fun. I love seeing our kids at church run around. Even if they talk during service, it doesn't bother me, because once when I was a little kid, Brother Stanley looked down at me and told me to be quiet because I was talking too much. But as Timothy grew up, he also grew up in the Lord. I've seen many of you, when we're little, we grew up in the Lord, and Paul saw potential in this young man, and he wanted to take him along on his missionary journey. And so to make sure Timothy would be accepted by the Jewish believers, he had him circumcised. I tell you, Timothy was a dedicated disciple. if you want to be a disciple or a mentee, we will not circumcise you. That is not a requirement. So you don't have to worry about that. He would be Paul's disciple. And just like Jesus had disciples, a disciple is really a learner or a pupil. In the New Testament time, disciples would walk alongside, disciplees would walk alongside their teacher for a period of time. And they would be taught the word of God, but they would also observe their teacher and how he lived out the word of God in good times and bad times. Jesus's disciples watched Jesus and they learned how to deal with situations with love and also God's word. See, in times of trouble, a lot of people, when they're in trouble, they disappear, they hide. But in times of troubles, we need to connect with other people for help, for wisdom, for encouragement, for support, and for strength. We need people in our lives who will be honest with us, who call us out about our blind spots, who love us enough to not let us make stupid mistakes. We need disciples. We need mentors. Proverbs 27:17 says this, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. When we listen and work with people, when they are honest with us and we're honest with them, it sharpens us in the Lord. Why not learn from someone like who has more experience? Why not learn from their mistakes? It takes too long to learn from your own mistakes. You know, most shortcuts in life lead to sin, but mentoring is one shortcut that God blesses because it allows us to grow stronger, grow our faith stronger, and to grow in our experience and knowledge of the word quicker when we have someone helping us. So today, as we think about this sermon, I want you to ask yourself these questions. Who would you like to mentor? Maybe you're a Christian who is very experienced. You walked with the Lord. You have wisdom and knowledge and even encouragement to share. Who can you mentor? You don't have to be a biblical scholar. You just have to know that you walked and trust in Jesus. Or maybe you're a young Christian or one who has not learned much. Who would you like to be mentored by? We want to help you find a mentor, and we want to help you find someone you can mentor. But you have to be willing to be a mentor. You also have to be willing to be a mentee. Now, most of us, when we grew up in our church, First Chinese Baptist Church, we did not have formal mentors like we did today. So I didn't have a formal Christian mentor in my Christian life. But our youth group, we studied God's word together. We were passionate about God's word. We taught and we listened to each other. We listened to guest speakers. We read books. We listened to our pastors and our teachers. And so we grew in the Lord. And even though I did not have a formal mentor, I had three people in my life, three types of people that were really a different form of mentoring. So, you know, the four people we need, one is we need a mentor. The second, we need role models. Now, we're not talking about supermodels, you know, with a fake hair and Photoshop bodies. We're talking about role models. We're talking about people who are godly examples of what a Christian should look like. The Apostle Paul was so confident in the Lord. He was walking with God. He could be a role model. 1 Corinthians 4:15, even though you have 10,000 guardians in Christ, you do not have many fathers who are in Christ Jesus. I am your father through the gospel. Verse 16, therefore, I encourage you to imitate me. Paul is telling the believers, because he started the church. He started the church. He's saying, I am your spiritual father, so imitate me. Why? Because fathers are role models. When I was raising my three daughters, I tried my very best to be a good role model. I never did anything I didn't want them to do. If I didn't want them to drink, I did not drink. If I didn't want them to swear, I'd never swear, period. I didn't do anything I didn't want them to do. On the other hand, I did everything I wanted them to do. They knew I had devotions. I had quiet times. They knew I loved the Lord. I wanted to show them what a godly father looked like. So I could say, and I never did tell them, imitate me. But I knew that they would. I never tell you as a church to imitate me, but I know some of you might. And so I want to be a role model. Philippians 4:9, whatever you learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice and the God of peace will be with you. Paul was saying, I am your role model in what you're learning, received, heard, or seen in him. Now, is Paul being prideful and egotistical? No. He's being practical. Jesus Christ is our ultimate role model. We're supposed to become like Christ. But when Jesus returned back to heaven, the only role models we see on earth, the only ones we can actually watch are you and me. Are you confident enough to be a role model to another believer? What kind of role model are you? Are you one of those good role models who you're a good role model on Sunday and a bad one on Monday? You know, if you're that way, your kids know that and they won't follow Jesus. Are you confident in your walk enough to say, imitate me? You know, role models are people who have already done what we want to do, or they're role models who are doing they're already doing right now what we want to do. Many of the skills you've learned in life are by watching other people, watching and learning. Now, I would say my role models when I was younger was Pastor Stanley and Mrs. Stanley. And it was a long time ago. We're in black and white period back here, okay? At First Chinese Baptist Church, they were my role models, even though I didn't admit it back then, but now I admit they were my role models. Their love and dedication to the Lord and his people were just a thing of beauty. They loved the Chinese people. And I have to be honest, Brother Stanley's preaching was not the most exciting. Half the time he preached in a way that just went right over my head, but I learned enough to trust in Jesus, and I watched them and knew that they loved God and he loved people. So Brother Stanley did all the preaching. He did all the teaching. He drove that yellow bus down Broadway and Baseline Road, picking up all the Chinese kids that were standing in front of their grocery store. The other thing Brother Stanley did was he did all the repairs around the church. I mean, he would fix things. He'd fix the bus. He'd fix plumbing. He'd do janitorial work. And as a pastor, his example is one reason that every few months I put on my grubby clothes and I walk around the church and I fix things. You know, I put in door stops or I'll unplug the toilets or I'll do something. And it's because Brother Stanley did it. And I felt as a pastor, I should be able to invest in the church buildings. See, we want to emulate our role models. So my question for you is, who is your role model? Are you watching a Christian brother or sister at church or within your family that you want to emulate? Or maybe I want to ask you this, who do you want to be a role model to? Who do you know in the church that share similar interests or desires that you can be a role model to? We want to match you up together. So we have mentors and role models. Then we need partners in life. We need partners. You know, many of you have been serving the Lord as long as I have. So you're my partners in ministry. We need co-workers and colleagues. Maybe they share the same profession. Maybe they work in the same ministry. People to support and challenge you to stand with you in the work that God calls you to be. We can accomplish so much more when we work together and work alongside one another. I think the most beautiful picture of partners in Acts is Paul in Acts 18:1. After this, Paul left Athens and went to Corinth. There he met a Jew named Aquila, a native of Pontus, who had recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had ordered all the Jews to leave Rome. Paul went to see them, and because he was a tent maker as they were, he stayed and worked with them. So he meets this couple, and I think this is a God thing. He meets this couple, Aquila and Priscilla, and they were already believers. They were mature believers, and they worked in the same vocation as Paul. They were tent makers, and most scholars think that tent makers were really leather makers, a trade that included making tents out of leather. And it was customary for good Jewish boys, even rabbi's son, to learn their father's trade. And so Paul probably learned this skill from his father. Remember, Paul had to pay his own way. He had to work and sell tents and leather goods and also preach and serve the gospel. So it was a natural fit for this couple and this man to join together, this godly couple, and work together. And look what Paul says about this couple in Romans 16:3. Aquila and Priscilla were back in Rome at this time. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus. They were fellow workers. They were partners. They risked their lives for me. Not only I, but all the churches of the Gentiles are grateful to them. See, they worked with Paul. They were fellow workers. They defended Paul. They risked their lives for Paul. They stood with Paul. Even though other people ran away, they stayed with him. They were partners in every sense of the word. We need people like that to accomplish the work of the church. I appreciate when the church goes on their mission trip to McNary that so many people partner together. But, you know, we need partners to share the gospel. We need partners to pray together. Now, way back when I think of a partner in my life, I think of my brother Eddie. And I remember many years ago, back when we were in college, my brother Eddie and I were partners. And we were partners in business, but we were partners in ministry. So we were we led what the boys group called the Royals Ambassadors. And we led them for 10 years. And we taught the boys God's word. We took the boys on camping trips. We shared the gospel with them. We taught them how to fish and hike and do all this outdoor stuff because none of these kids never did. And if you're looking for someone, you know, Frankie Lamb's in there somewhere. Frankie, he was one of our RAs, and Harold Wong and John Yee at First Chinese. And so we did this together, but you know, sometimes we'd have 10 kids, 15 kids at our camp that we had once a year. And we had to cook for them, clean them, put them to sleep, and take care of them. And it was a blessing, but I couldn't do it alone. My brother and I were partners. And we see in this passage, Ecclesiastes 4:9, two are better than one because they have a good return for their work. We need to work with people. You can accomplish much more working together than by yourself. So I want to ask you this question. Who is your partner in ministry? Are you working with someone in ministry? Are you trying to be the Lone Ranger? You need a partner. One way that we disciple people and bring them up the Lord is to take on a partner. So if you're the only teacher in a small group, well, you need to get another assistant or another teacher. If you're only the one leading your ministry, well, you need people to work with them so you can train them and raise them up. And then maybe you want to learn how to serve the Lord. Well, who needs a partner? If you look at leaders in the church, who can you join and work with? So we talked about three different people, mentors, friends, and role models. Next thing we see is we need friends. We just need friends in our lives. You know, when you ask God for wisdom, God, give me wisdom on how to deal with this problem. God, give me wisdom on how to deal this thing with at work. God, give me wisdom on how to deal with this loss I've suffered. God will often direct you to someone who knows and practices God's word. Everyone needs godly friends in their lives who love God and obey the Bible. You were never meant to practice God's wisdom on your own. So we see this passage, 1 Corinthians 15:33. Do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. The quality of your life and the quality of your decisions is determined by who you spend the most time with. So you must choose wisely and not foolishly. That's why parents are worried about who their kids hang out with. Proverbs 13:20, he who walks with the wise grows wise, but a companion of fools suffers harm. See, one way, we want to be wise about our friends. We hang around losers, we will be like a loser. If we hang around good and godly people, we'll be good and godly people. If you're not sure how to make friends, join a small group. Join a ministry group. I see new people join the various groups in our church all the time, and they make good and godly friends. Some of you know this character, this guy. Everybody know this guy? Nathan Pillow. Nathan Pillow was my evangelist friend. He was a friend. He worked for the Arizona Southern Baptist Convention. He loved Jesus passionately. He loved people passionately. And he loved life. I mean, he was an amazing friend. And we got I met him because I was in charge of revival at First Chinese, and he was a revival speaker. And so we met, and then eventually he learned that I worked in this building on Central Avenue, and at the bottom of this building was a cafeteria that had the best buffet on Central Avenue, and he wanted to go eat there. And so he'd call me every so often and say, "Hey, Terry, let's go eat downstairs." I'm like, so we became friends because of food. What's wrong with that? Nathan helped me in my pastoral ministry. I helped him with his taxes and all the free business advice I could give. It's interesting, we fished together, and then we go fishing for the souls of men together. He was filled with wisdom and humor. After I became a pastor, one day he told me, "Terry, now that you're a pastor, you need to name your boat Visitation." I said, "Why do I need to name my boat Visitation?" He says that when a deacon asks you why you weren't at a meeting yesterday, you can honestly say, "I was out on visitation." Now that's wisdom you can't buy. But he was a good friend, and we all need friends. You know, friends don't necessarily help you with your goals. They're just friends. They love you no matter what you do. You can mess up and they still love you. A friend walks alongside of you when everyone else is walking out on you. That's how you know you have true friends. So the question I ask you is this: who is your friend? I mean, do you have a friend? Do you have someone you listen to and talk to? Who needs a friend? Who do you see at church that sits by themselves all the time or never talks to anybody? They're the first ones to leave the church. Who needs a friend at work? God wants us to make friends, not friends with the world, but friends with people. See, we need these four friends for this reason. We must become bodybuilders. We must become bodybuilders. The point of mentoring and discipleship and coaching is to build up the body of Christ. And the way we do that is one believer at a time. When we build up one believer at a time, we build up the body of Christ. If these believers are faithful, they will be fruitful. Hebrews 10:24. "And let us not consider how we may spur one another to," "And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds." Let us consider. Verse 25, another, "Let us not give up on meeting together as some of you are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." Let us. We're not meant to live life alone. We do it with one another. So let us spur one another along. What do you know? Cowboys wear spurs not to hurt the horse, but to encourage them, to kind of provoke them to go in a different direction. That's what mentors do. That's what role models do. We spur people to move towards God, the right direction, not the wrong direction. We move people closer to God and towards loving people and doing good deeds. Let us meet together. We don't want to not meet together, as some are in the habit of doing. So mentors and friends and role models, we encourage people to good habits. We need good and holy habits like meeting together, fellowshipping together, and learning together. Your friends should encourage you with good habits. And then let us encourage one another to be faithful to the Lord as a day is approaching. As things go wrong, as we go through these pandemics, as we worry about protests, we hold on. We encourage one another. See, we need to make sure we have the right people in our lives. So if you're hanging around with people, or you see a friend hanging around with people, you have to ask yourself this question: are these people, are they helping you or hurting you? I mean, I see people hang around, they tell me about their friends who hurt them, and I'm like, why? Why would you hang around that kind of person? Are they building up your faith, or are they building up your fears? All you talk about are your fears and not your faith. Are they causing you to worship more or to worry more? Worry is the opposite of worship. If you worship the Lord sincerely, you won't worry as much. If you worry more, you will worship less. Are they stress relievers or stress generators in your life? When people come to me for counseling, I want to relieve their stress. I want them to understand the peace and power they have in Christ. Are they causing your faith to build or be broken? Make sure you have the right people in your life. If these people in your life are not moving you closer to God, if they're moving you away from God, you need to get out of their lives. You need to pull away from them. They are not helping you. Remember, if you're a mentor and a mentee, it's not a one-way street. If you're a mentee, you receive the teaching and encouragement of your mentor. But if you're a mentor, it's a two-way street. You learn from your mentee. You learn by helping them. When you're a mentor and a mentee, it enriches your life both ways. It enriches your life when you serve someone or you're teaching them. It enriches your life. So we want to help you find someone to disciple. We want to help you find someone who can disciple you. So August at Northwest is our mentoring emphasis month. All month, all our sermons will be about how to disciple others, how to be discipled. There will be, vodcasts, video casts that will be loaded up on our church website. Vidcasts? I don't know. That you can get more information on. We also want to help you find someone to share your experiences with, to be a disciple, to have, share a discipleship relationship with. So I want you to ask yourself this question, and the one that applies to you. What is the need? Do I know of someone in need? Someone maybe I can help. Now, this is not a prideful or egotistical thing. I want to submit to the Lord. Who can I help? Who do you see on the screen today? Who do you know that I can help? We may not meet in person. Maybe we'll do it on Zoom or something else like that. Maybe we'll just talk on the phone. What is the need? Who can I help? Then the second one is this. What do I need? You know, your faith is boring. Your prayers are empty. You're not excited about God. I probably need some help. So who can I ask for help? Our staff intern, Valene Liu, is leading the ministry, this discipleship ministry, and she and her friends have put together a video. So let's see if this will work first. I tried to set this up myself.
About the discipleship and the role that it's played in our lives.
We want to encourage you to listen to our sermon series and panel discussions on our social media platforms.
As a mentee, I was encouraged to trust in who God said I was and to find my identity in Him.
And as a mentor, I think you'll find your faith challenged and that your faith would grow as much as those that you're mentoring.
We'd like to encourage you to consider getting into a discipleship relationship, whether as a mentor-mentee or peer-to-peer relationship.
Feel free to sign up by using the email below and reaching out to me, and we'll give you more information.
All right, everyone pictured in that video have been either a mentor, a mentee, or a disciple or a disciplee. So if you have any questions, talk to Valene, and let me see if, okay. You can email Valene at this email, or talk to one of the pastors, talk to the church secretary. We will connect you. It is not good for men and women to be alone. So let's grow together in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember that the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins and rose from the dead to give you eternal life. And He wants you to live that life to the fullest. So it's more than just trusting in Jesus and believing in Jesus. It's walking with Jesus and growing in Him. And so it's helpful to have people come alongside of you. So do you have these four people in your lives, role models, mentors, friends, all these people? Do you know someone who needs a role model or a mentor or a friend or a partner? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for the hope we have in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We have hope. We have salvation in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. We have a meaningful life because we walk the way you want us to walk. We have hope of eternity in heaven. Father, thank you for this month of August when it'll be discipleship and mentoring month. And we just ask, Father, as we think about this message today and what we as believers will do this month, we need to ask ourselves, Father, who can I help? Who can I be a mentor to, or a role model to, or a partner or a friend to? Or maybe, Father, we need to ask this, Father, who can help me? Who can be my mentor, Father? Who can be my role model? Who can be my partner or my friend? Father, we just ask that we all honestly search our hearts to see how we can serve or be served, how we can give and also receive. Help us not to be embarrassed. It's not a prideful thing, but a humble, submissive thing to you, Lord. Lord, we know that the month of August you're going to use to awaken our spiritual senses, to help us take stronger steps to strengthen our relationships and make a difference in each other's lives. Thank you, Father, for this opportunity. Bless it. We thank you. We glorify you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We pray. Amen.